From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You see, sometimes God puts a vest or a harness on you. And though you want to break out of that, kind of do what your impulses tell you to, God is saying, you don't have the character depth yet to take you the long run. And that's why at about 5, 6, 8 years of marriage, 10 years, you peak out. That's why it's so dangerous to simply jump in the rack at the first sight of romance, because then you stop character building at that point.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Today, a message particularly for those of you who are looking for your life's mate, but it's a message that all of us, married or single, can learn from. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Finding the Love of Your Life.
Today, we're going to be talking about one of the more important decisions that we make in life, and that is choosing the love of your life. How do you do that? How do you find that love of your life? Some would start with the little daisies. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Here in Hawaii, the Potawatomi people use plumeria because there's fewer petals, you know? Only like five of them. He loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me. All right. There was one in a spelling class, and the teacher said to the third graders, now, all of you got to memorize these spelling words. And in fact, she says, here's a secret. This is secret. If you repeat a word 30 times, it's yours forever. There was a little girl in the back started, Johnny, 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 Johnny. How do you choose the love of your life? Anna did it differently. She just grabbed me, tackled me, started kissing me passionately. I had to marry her just to get her to quit. Yeah, honey. Many different ways I wrote a letter to my daughter, Amy, and it's about finding someone, and it goes like this. My dear Amy, soon you'll be noticing boys and hoping that they'll notice you. Parentheses, a silent prayer is offered here. It's all a natural part of growing up. Hormonal changes, a desire for acceptance from the opposite sex. Now, there will be some boys who will appreciate your inner qualities, whether it be kindness or grace. However, others will only appreciate your outer. You'll have a tendency to pay attention to the boys who pay attention to you, but never respond only to these. Be careful to watch over your heart, because the emotional web is constructed with very strong fibers, and each one you spin takes 3 times as long to unspin. When you're sizing up a guy, look for strong character qualities. They are far more important than good looks or popularity. Never mind if a guy is wealthy, so long as he is wise. Never mind if he is famous, so long as he is faithful. And sooner or later, your mother would prefer later, you will notice a special guy. Pray for this one before you even meet him, because God will know who he is before you will. Pray for his spiritual growth and maturity, and pray especially that he has a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Mom and I encourage you to seek God's ways and pray for someone who does the same. And when you find that wonderful person, your relationship will be pleasing to God and to us. That's what your mom did, and look how happy she is. Humbly yours, Dad. How do you find the love of your life? Now, in a mixed group like this, it's a difficult subject for me to tackle because although I'm speaking about how to find the love of your life, I know in a group like this, there are going to be singles. There's going to be those that are already married. There's going to be many that feel like, oh, what if my marriage is struggling and then I hear these things? Or there's some people that hear just feel that God has called them not to be married. There's some that'll be divorced. There's so many different people in a group of this size and nature, and it's a difficult thing to tackle. But as I go through some of these character qualities, I want you to promise me that you'll not get condemned in any way. But when I share some of these character qualities, you might say, well, that's not me and that's not my marriage. Well, then you can become that. Say, that's not me right now, but that's good. I can become that. Lord, give me the strength to become that. And always remember that the secret to a good marriage is this, falling in love again and again and always with the same person. And so you can start again and again to become. You know why? Because let me share with you this. Remember, always remember, love is not really finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. In fact, would you write that in your first note there? Love is not finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. And so remember, as we talk about this, God is going to speak to us about what we get to become in this message and in this series. So we will not, there will be no condemnation. Got it? Everybody got it? Shake your head like this. Now, remember, God does not come to condemn. He comes to build up. And so remember that. Now, I know that even though we give obvious instructions, they're going to be misinterpreted and some things will be taken wrongly, but that's not my heart. Now, it reminds me of a friend of mine that is a Porigi guy that kidnapped this kid. Kidnapped him right out of the grade school, second grader. Took him in the side of Long's and wanted to write a ransom note. So he wrote a ransom note. He wrote it to his father. Said, if you don't deliver $1,000 to me tomorrow at the same time, then the ransom for your kid is going to go up $1,000 a day until you do. Signed his name, folded the note, pinned it on the kid and said, go, take this to your father now. Sure enough, the next day, this kid comes back with an envelope with $1,000 in it. Except there was a note attached to it, and it said this, here is your $1,000, but I cannot believe you would do this to another porgy. Some people, it doesn't matter how good the instructions are, they don't get it. So I want you to raise your right hand like this. Everybody, raise your right hand. Ready? And I want you to repeat after me. Are you ready? Okay. I will not beat myself or condemn my spouse. But instead, I will become what I need to be. Motivated to change. And I love this pastor. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. So love is not finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. Let's read the scriptures under number one there out of 2 Peter. Ready? Go. So produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God better leads to self-control. Keep going. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful. Some people say, well, Wayne, if love is becoming the right person, I understand that. But you know what? Is there really one person in the world that's designed for you? I mean, is there one person that God's created just for you? That's a tough question to answer. Because, I mean, people have been struggling with that for years and years. Is there really? The reason why that might not be the best question to ask is because it can cause, the downside of it, is it causes us to rationalize by saying, you know, say I'm married and it's not working out, and I believe God has one person for me, and obviously you're not it, woman. And so now I got to go find the love of my life, you know, and we justify that new quest. Well, some people say, well, Wayne, aren't marriages made in heaven, the ones that are really God? Well, no, marriages aren't made in heaven. I put it this way. Marriages come in kit form. You put it together yourself. Because you see, your life is God's gift to you. Now, what you make of your life will be your gift to God. And He will give you all the grace necessary to become all that you can be. In fact, what was happening in the Bible times was people were coming to know the Lord, and if the spouse didn't at the same time, they would actually try to leave them. But Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you can just jot that scripture down. It says, let each man remain in that condition in which he was called. To the married, I give these instructions, but not I, but the Lord. that the wife should not leave her husband, and that the husband should not leave the wife, remain in that condition in which you were called. What is God saying? He's saying, I will give you all the grace in a miraculous way to make this the best. Because you see, the problem isn't marriages. The problems are people who get married. The problems they carry with them and an unwillingness to be transformed, to receive the grace to change. That's where you lock horns. Now, how can you get both people then to operate together in agreement? How can you get it? Because you are going to hit some storms. What do you do? You say, Wayne, I'm ready to work it out in such a way that things do work out good. I want to find the love of my life and we both pull together. How do I do it? Can I get some instructions? Well, write number two right there. Would you write then, follow God's order. Follow God's order. Now we can go on for a whole retreat on this one, but let me give you the most simple way that's helped me over the years. You know, you talk to people and you say, what is man made up of? And they'll say body, soul, and spirit, right? Body, soul, and spirit. Which is true, but untrue. The priority is flipped. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Let's read it together at the bottom of your notes. Ready? Go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you circle those words, spirit, soul, and body? You notice the order? Because you see, in the world, when we date and stuff, we get together what? Body, soul, and spirit, right? They just look for the container. If the container of this person is good, you know, woo, nice jar, you know, nice, that's it. And that's it. And you kind of hop in the rack together. It's kind of a romantic thing they play out on the screens of Hollywood. I remember The Doors, Jim Morrison sings, you know, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? You know, it's just, it's wall. Kapakai, it's all backwards. And the other songs that come out, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. You know, just those kinds of things. Just really wrong. If you get caught between the moon and New York City, the best that you can do is fall in love. Just wherever you are, just fall in love with somebody, you know. It's like, wow, what is this? Now, there is something that goes around. It's okay, Wayne, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to date. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to wait for God to just tell us, and we'll just kind of, poof, there it is. Well, my suggestion is you not do it that way. I mean, it sounds spiritual, but it ain't. Because, you see, it's one of the most important decisions you're going to make in life. And if you're going to, say, like, sing a solo, and it's one of your first times you're going to sing, you don't just kind of wait for the day and just say, okay, God, just bless me now. Here we go. And you just sing. No. If it's that important, what do? Yeah, you pray, you practice, you rehearse, you get coaching, you get counseling, you practice, you pray, you get counseling, coaching. And then when you go up to sing, because it's an important occasion, then you pray, Lord, I need your blessing. And God is happy to do so because he's seen your preparation and conditioning. Same if you're going to run a race, a marathon coming up in December, the Honolulu Marathon. You just don't decide the day before, oh, yeah, this is, I feel it. This is it, this is it. I'm going to run. You're nuts. But you know, we don't ever do that with things that are obvious, but we do that with some of the most important decisions in life. And we think that's the way to do it. That's not. So we must be willing to prepare. So someone says, well, Wayne, what about dating? Should we just not date? My suggestion is you do, but not the world's way. For 1 Timothy chapter 5 says this, men treat the younger women as sisters, and women treat the men as brothers, all in purity. And when you date, do it as you would a sister or brother. Why? Well, as a gift to say, I appreciate you. My sister moved over here a couple months ago, and often on Sundays, I take her out to lunch. And sometimes I'll see a change in her, and she's doing well in the Lord, and I'll say, you're doing good in the Lord. Keep it up. You're doing great. And as I would my sister, I take her out for dinner or lunch and let her know how much I appreciate her and how God is working in her life, and I can see it. Be wonderful if the brothers would take out a sister and say, you know, no ulterior motives. I just see that you're serving the Lord. You've got a wonderful spirit, and I just wanted to say thanks as a gift. and just do that in fellowship so that we learn how to treat the person in the opposite sex and how to treat them as a brother and a brother as a sister and to allow God to build character qualities deep within you. Doesn't mean there's any other ulterior motive except to say, encourage one another in the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Treat them as a sister. I do that with my sister. Treat that as a would a brother. And learn to communicate. I mean, because if you don't practice, if you don't try to do those, you're going to, I mean, some people are so afraid, you know, of talking when there's a girl. All of a sudden, there's a girl. You know, what happens? Oh, God says to marry this one. You get up and you get married and you stand up there and the minister says, do you take this one to be your lawfully wedded wife? Never talked to her before. you got to be able to rehearse and practice. And so it's a wonderful thing, but make sure that your heart is pure. Now, they say, well, how do we get together then? If this is true and we're going to get to know one another and find the love of our life, what's a good pattern to follow? God's order. Number one, would you write on the other side of your notes, spirit. Remember, it's spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit like the world does. They get together in body first, and then after a while, they try to see if they're friends, you know, the soul part. Are we friends? Can we do things together without fighting? And then after things go bad, then they say, oh, we need God. Then they go into the spirit part. But in God's order, let's flip it. And the first is getting together in spirit to make sure that you're spiritually one. As you begin to look for that one who indeed will be the love of your life, make sure that you're both on the same page because the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Did you know that before I even met Anna, I would pray for her? I didn't know who she was, where she would come from, what her ethnicity would be, her background. And yet I would pray for her and even fasted for her. And I say, Lord, whoever this person will be, I pray that you'll grow her deep in you today. Draw her near to you. Have her spirit strong in the things of God. And then I continued to follow the Lord. And you know what? One day as I looked around, I noticed her. And the first thing I noticed was her spirit and that she loved God. And I asked her, it doesn't sound romantic, but I asked her, I said, would you like to meet with me every morning? Because we went to the same Bible college. And we'll have coffee and stuff. And let's pray together. So she said, oh, okay. And so for, I don't know how many years, honey, what? 2 years or so until she nabbed me. But for 2 years, we would meet 5 days a week before class and just pray. We'd have some coffee together and we'd pray about our families and things. And our both of our spirits just were together. And the first thing to do is always get together because that way, because in the world, it's always body first. You know, you check her out. Woo! Check her teeth, you know, and I don't know what else they check out, but make sure that they're good, you know. And then they get involved with body first, and then spirit goes down the line. But in the things of God, get together with the spirit first to make sure that you're both pulling together and that you're on the same page. Now, the spirit. The second is then your soul. Would you write that in there? Your soul, which means see if you can be friends. Is there you share the same things of your soul, your emotions, your friendships, the things you like and dislike, your temperaments, etc. Do you just enjoy being friends? Let's read Song of Solomon as a woman is describing her husband. Let's read it together, Song of Solomon 5:16. Ready? Go. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So she's saying, my beloved is also my friend. Now, can I say this? Make sure that you can be friends without having to share the same rack together, the same bed. Because you see, once you get involved sexually, your emotional web gets entangled. And it's tough to build character qualities that are necessary before the marriage when there is the emotional web getting entangled and the sexual emotions getting tangled. You'll need to be able to stay away from that to see if you can be friends. Remember this, the parameters for sex is not romance. The parameters for sex is marriage. And don't mix those up. You see, what happens is if we start to get involved sexually too soon, it blocks your view of how the other person is, whether that person has character or not. Because if you're emotionally involved, that guy can have all kinds of thorns, all kinds of bars, but you're blinded to it because he loves me. Now, here's the dangerous and the sticky point. Often girls will give sex in order to get love. Guys will give love in order to get sex. And you have to be careful. And so the best thing is in this spirit and then soul, becoming friends. Can you just be friends without getting kissy-licky? Can you be friends without having to be touchy-feely? You see, you got to be able to be friends, just friends. Because one day when you get married, that sexual part may drop a little bit in priority, but your friendship needs to be retained very high. But if you're not even friends, watch when everything loses a little bit of its luster and see what takes place. A lot of divorces happen not because people fall out of love, but they fall out of friendship with one another. And after a while, they share the same address, but they're no longer friends. And that goes on for a long time. And then everything starts to drift south. Friendship is very important. Well, some will say, well, Wayne, you know, if God gives us, I mean, it's a God-given thing, sexual impulses. Well, if God gave me the sexual impulse, shouldn't it be fulfilled? Well, let me just share it this way. I remember when I was running track in high school, and they put up a telephone post right around where the track would turn, and they hooked up a pulley to it. And I don't think they do it anymore nowadays, but a pulley with a rope to it and a harness or a vest. And because I was running the sprints, they would put this vest on me, and I'd snap it up, and there'd be a pulley on the back, and they'd kind of reel me into these starting blocks, and the coach would say, on your mark, get set, bang. And another coach, I'd start to pump coming out of those blocks, and cinders from my track shoes would be flying, and I'd be pumping as hard as I can. Another coach would be letting me out just slowly, like 3 miles an hour, and I'd be spinning that track up, and the coach could then coach me down further, Wayne, down, head down, head down. Now, arms higher, pump higher, get your legs up, faster, faster. And I'd be just going about 3 miles an hour, and he would be working on my form and working on my, what he called my quick twitch muscles, because you need that for the sprint. And I'd go about 25 yards out, and I'd be dog tired, and he'd say, okay, that's enough. And they'd reel me in like a dying ahi, you know, just bring me back in. I'd get back into the blocks again, same thing, bang, over and over again until I got my form right. And my legs are pumping. And I said, Coach, why do we have to do this again and again? He said, because you see, by doing this, by pulling you and holding you in tension, putting a harness on you, you develop your muscles in order to carry you the long way. Because if you're running a 100-meter dash, a lot of times at 80 meters, 90 meters, you start to slow down. You just come to a peak, and you peak out at 80 meters. But if I can build your muscles to go the long way at 80 meters, you're still gaining in velocity and you're still cooking. And one day, Wayne, he says, when I take this vest off, you'll come flying out of those blocks and you'll have the muscle structure built to take you all the way to the end. You'll build your respiratory system and your muscles to be able to keep that projected velocity increasing through the tape. And you see, sometimes God puts a vest or a harness on you. And though you want to break out of that, kind of do what your impulses tell you to, God is saying, you don't have the character depth yet to take you the long run. If you just jump out prematurely and kind of let your impulses fly, yes, God gave those to you. But if you just let them go without building perseverance and patience and endurance and the qualities necessary, then that's why at about 5, 6, 8 years of marriage, 10 years, you peak out. And then you wonder, is that all there is? Because we didn't have the muscle structure of character built when you came out of the blocks. That's why it's so dangerous to simply jump in the rack at the first sight of romance, because then you stop character building at that point. But if you say, no, there's a harness on me and I'm not going to fight against God's harness, God's order, then God begins, though you want to, you have self-control. Though you desire this, you develop patience and endurance, all those character qualities so absolutely necessary to take you the long haul in marriage.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Finding the Love of Your Life by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, and until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.